Scripture reading this morning will come from Exodus 20, verse 12. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which Jehovah thy God giveth thee.
Well, good morning. Hi. I'm going to go ahead and turn this off. Actually, I'll just leave it on. He can mute it up. Well, it's good to see all our kids up here. I noticed we have a few sitting in the back. Maybe we didn't grab you. But if you want to, go ahead and come on up here. It's not awkward, you know, unless you make it awkward. Okay. So come on up here and join us. We're going to be talking with the kids, for just a few minutes. And I hope that, you can be up here close to kind of be a real part of it. I know that we have a lot of ages right here. A lot of, you know, we got little kids and we've got teenagers and we've got all these different ages coming together. And I know that we can all get some use out of this, and I hope that everyone in the room listens up, and because there's going to be some stuff in there for you too. So I've got here, I want to introduce you to my trusty ketchup packet. Okay? It's here in this bottle of water. You may not know this, but ketchup packets, when they are in water, have to do everything you say. Do you know that? Okay, so you want to give them a name? I haven't named them yet. Anybody have a name? For the ketchup packet, got a name? This is the interactive portion. You can talk with me, okay? Anybody got a name? You want to name them? You got a name? Mr. Tomato, okay, I like it. Mr. Tomato, okay? So Mr. Tomato, he and I have been working together, and I've been training him so that he'll do whatever I say, okay? So if I say, Mr. Tomato, will you please go down to the bottom of the bottle there? Go ahead. There you go. Good job. See, Mr. Tomato, he's so obedient. He's so good to listen. Did you guys see that? You know what? You can go back up. It's all right. Did you see that? He's a very obedient little ketchup packet. You know what? No, go back up. Go on, come on. He's taking a little long. All right. So I say, Mr. Tomato, you're just so good. Do it again. Go ahead. Let this side of the room see it. Go ahead. Go to the bottom there. Just come on. Come on. And believe me, it's not that there's a string there. I can't just cut the string and he goes back up, you know. Oh, there he goes. Okay. See, he's very obedient. In fact, I could say, just work your way down, back down slowly, 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 and just stop. Just stop right there. See? Okay, so he's very obedient. Mr. Tomato is very obedient. Now, anybody want to try it? Anybody want to give him an order? You want to try it? Give him an order? Say, Mr. Tomato, go down. You want to try that? Say it louder. Say it louder. Oh, no. He's not listening to you. And you know why? I'm just tricking you there. Sorry. But he knows who to listen to. Mr. Tomato, he only listens to me, right? He has a lot of people coming up to him and say, hey, Mr. Tomato, you need to do this. You need to do that. But really, Mr. Tomato only listens to me because he knows that I'm the one looking out for him, right? I'm the one he needs to listen to because I'm the one who's worked with him. So I'm going to put him away just for a few minutes there. And I want to talk to you about obedience, right? Mr. Tomato is very obedient, right? And he knew who to listen to. Now, I want to ask, are you that way with your parents? Do you listen to your parents? Are you like Mr. Tomato, or do you give a fuss when your parents ask you to do something? And this is for the teenagers and for the older people as well, too. For everyone in the room. Do you give a fuss when your parents tell you to do something? Or are you like Mr. Tomato and you do it whatever you're asked without complaint? That's my question. Are you obedient? And do you know who to listen to? Because I know a lot of times you're going to have a lot of people who tell you to do a lot of things. You're going to have a lot of people that tell you this, tell you that. They tell you it's not important to clean your room. It's not important to eat your vegetables. You're going to have a lot of people telling you to do a lot of things. But you need to know who to listen to, right? You need to listen to your parents, not just everybody else. I'd like to read a passage from the Bible that says this. In Ephesians chapter 6, in verses 1 through 3, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, because this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you, and that you may have a long life in the land. In other words, he's saying there, that if you listen to your parents, you're going to live longer. Why? Why is it important to listen to our parents? Anybody have any ideas? Why is it important? Come on, I need some older people to help here. Why is it important to listen to your parents? They know better than you do. That's a good way of saying it. In fact, they are looking out for you, and they know when danger's ahead. You guys ever been on the road and seen signs on the road? What does this sign mean? What does that sign mean? Say it again. Okay, I'm not going to stop preaching, but I like your attitude. Okay, no, say it again here. Everybody, hold out your hand and say, stop! Stop! Okay? Sometimes when you're on the road, you see this sign, your mom or your dad's driving, and what do they have to do? Do it again. Stop! Okay? Now what about this sign? What does this sign mean? Come on down, kids. Come on down, kids. There's a whole row. Okay. I'm speaking directly to the kids. Okay. So what does this sign mean? Anybody want to help me? Say it again. It means dead end, right? What does that mean? It means you can't keep going forward, right? That the road's going to stop coming up, right? You know what I'm talking about? Okay. What about this sign? What does this sign mean? U-turn. I heard it. All the way in the back. Good job. U-turn. It means you can turn around, right? Or that you're going to have to turn around in some cases. Okay, so what happens if your mom's driving and she's not paying attention and she misses the stop sign? What happens? What happens when you ignore the stop sign? I see the crash there, right? You could get hurt, right? Because signs are out there. All of these signs are up here for a reason, right? They're on the street not because they want to ruin your fun while driving. They're out there because they're trying to keep you safe, right? And it's the same with parents. Your parents are going to say stop sometimes. They're going to hold out their hand. Go ahead, do it with me. Stop, right? Sometimes your parents are going to say stop. Now, they're not doing it because they don't like you. They're not doing it to ruin your fun. They're doing it because they're looking out for you. They know if you keep going and you don't stop, that you could get hurt. That, you know, why do your parents tell you not to walk in the street without them, right? Why can't you walk in the street? Do you have an answer? Got an answer? Why can't you walk in the street? Somebody else help. Come on. You can get hit by a car, that's right. Sometimes you have to listen to your parents because they're looking out for you. They don't want you to get hurt. Sometimes your parents say, turn around. The direction you're going is not going to end well. This is a dead end. Sometimes your parents tell you, you need to stop. And you need to turn around because they know if you keep going in the direction you're going, it's not going to end well for you. Okay? So that's why the Bible says you'll live longer if you obey your parents. Because your parents are looking out for you. They're trying to help you out and keep you safe. There's a passage in the Bible that really speaks to this, that really discusses this. And for this, I'll need two volunteers and two boys, because the story calls for boys. I know I'm going to have a hard time here. Okay, could I get two brave young boys to come up here with me? Just come on up. Yeah, I need one more. Yeah, come on up. All right, great. All right, stand on either side of me here for a second. Okay, which one of you is older? All right, you're the older one. Okay, so what I'm going to ask you to do is you're going to act out this story for me. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to do anything crazy. All you're going to do is mimic me when I ask you to, okay? So you're the younger brother, you're the older brother. We're in Luke chapter 15, for those who want to turn there. Luke chapter 15, we're at a story that Jesus tells called the story of the prodigal son. Okay? The story starts off in verse 11, where Jesus says a man had two sons. Okay? So these are the two sons. Let's just, for the sake of argument, say that I'm your father. Okay? I know I'm not, but let's just pretend. Okay? So a man has two sons. There's a younger brother and the older brother. And the younger brother says, Father, give me what's coming to me. So go ahead and hold your hand out and say, give me. Yeah, there you go. Just do it just with all your might. Give me. Okay. So the younger brother says, Father, give me. He says, Father, I want all that's coming to me. In fact, what he was doing was he was saying, give me what's going to be mine once you die. So in other words, you're telling your father, you're dead to me. Give me your money. Okay, so do that again. Give me. Now, how do you think that makes the father feel? If we feel pretty bad. How do you think that makes the older brother feel? This is where you put your hands on your hips and you shake your head. See, there he is. He's shaking his head at his younger brother. He says, you know what? This younger brother, he doesn't know what's good for him. But because the father decides, you know what? I don't want my son to, I want my son to just learn the lesson on his own. He says, okay, I'll give you your inheritance. Go ahead and take this, put it over your shoulder. Now the younger brother goes off and he goes into a foreign country. And he starts spending all the money he has. So go ahead. I know you got two hands here. I'll hold that for you. Go ahead. Spend the money. Yeah, he's spending all his money, right? The text says he squanders his wealth. Okay, that means basically you're taking all this money and you're buying candy. You're buying things that aren't good for you. You're buying chocolate bars. You're buying all these things that aren't good for you, right? And so after a while, pat your pockets. You can do one hand. Yeah. You got no money. Oh, no. What's he going to do? Meanwhile, at the brother's house, he's still angry. But he's forgetting about the brother. He's like, forget the brother, he's gone. But you're in a bad situation because a famine comes over the land. Do you guys know what a famine is? Anybody know what a famine is? Yeah, there's no food or water. So here we are. A famine comes over this land. You've lost all your possessions. And here you are wondering, what am I going to do for food? So your tummy is growling. Oh, do that. Oh, your tummy's growling. Okay. So here you are, and you're thinking, I'm poor, and I'm kind of cold. So do this. Hold your arms. You're cold. Yeah. So he's shivering, and he's hungry. And what's the older brother doing? He's over at the father's house, right? And so he's fine, right? He's warm and snug in his bed. You know? He's fine. And he's had really good meals. Just rub your stomach. There you go. Oh, yeah. You had some good meals over there. And now you're wondering, the younger brother's sitting there thinking, ah, why did I do this, right? I'm here. I'm shivering. I'm hungry. Oh. And now you're in chains. So go ahead and hold your hands out like this. I'm going to chain you up, okay? Because now you're working as a slave. And I'm going to go out and I'm going to make you go out and you're going to feed the pigs, okay? So now feed the pigs. Okay. So you're so hungry that when you're feeding the pigs, you are looking at this pig slop that you're pouring in there, and you're so hungry, lick your lips. That food's looking pretty good. That pig slop is looking pretty darn delicious. And you're thinking, oh, I'm so hungry. That looks pretty good. Okay? Now you go, yuck, because in fact, you've never been hungry before in that way, so you think that's gross. In fact, everybody's going to say, yuck, yuck, okay? So he's in the pig pen, and he's looking at pig slop, thinking, this looks pretty good. And then finally, he realizes, in fact, do this, don't hit yourself too hard, okay? Just go, oh, what was I thinking? Oh, he comes to his senses, the text says, okay? He realizes that he's in a bad spot. He's thinking, oh, if only I'd listened to my father. If only I had listened to him and I hadn't just taken everything and left. Right? But he decides, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pack up everything I have left. I'm going to go back to my father and I'm going to just beg to be a slave. Because at least a slave is fed in my father's house. So he goes back and what does the father do? You guys know the story? What does the father do? He runs to him. Because such is the love of a parent, right? I'm not going to hug you because I know that might be awkward. But that's what the father does. The father runs to him and hugs him and embraces him. What does the older brother do? This is where you go. You just turn away and you stomp your feet, okay? In fact, he goes and sits down. Yeah, you can both sit down. Thank you so much. You can take that with you. Okay, I'll take it. See, they did a great job, and I appreciate that. Now, what we need to remember is that if we had listened to our parents, we wouldn't have gotten into that bad situation. There's a reason why your parents say stop. There's a reason why your parents say turn around, right? The path you're going down is not the right path. What you're trying to do is not going to lead you anywhere you want to be, right? And that he wouldn't have been in the pig pen if he had listened to his dad, right? And so we need to think the same way. In fact, we need to remember that our parents are looking out for us. So I want you to do one more thing. I want you to look to your mom, your dad, or your grandmother, whoever it is that's with you right now. I want you to look at them and say, I'm listening. Okay? Say that with me. Say one more. All together, right now. One, two, three. I'm listening. All right. Great job. All right. Thank you so much. All right. I was going to do it at the beginning. I'm going to do it a couple songs right now. We'll do a couple of quick songs for the kids. And then we'll have a song led by Chris here, Jesus Loves Little Children. I invite all of us to sing along. And then I'm going to have a few moments to talk to the adults in the room. And so you guys have been so good. I really appreciate that. I hope that you just keep being as good as you have been. And I really appreciate it. So let's sing a song. I hear you guys know Awesome God. So let's stand up and let's sing Awesome God real quick. I don't know the hand motions of this one. I apologize. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. All right, do you guys know the wise man? The wise man, foolish man? Okay, we're going to try it. Now, be warned, some of the hand motions I learned in a place 2,000 miles from here, so they might be a little different, okay? So, we're going to try it. Let's sing. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down. Oh, the rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up, and the full rock stood firm. I know a different version. Okay, we're going to go. We're going to foolish man. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the rains came tumbling down. Oh, the rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. And the foolish man's house went splat. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the blessings will all come down. Oh, the blessings come down as the prayers go up. The blessings come down as the prayers go up. The blessings come down as the prayers go up. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, one more. Lord's Army. All right, let's sing. I'm in the Lord's Army. Yes, sir. I'm in the Lord's Army. Yes, sir. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly o'er the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's Army. Yes, sir! Alright, thank you. Sit down, please.
The little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
In Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 1, it reads, At that time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, So who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a child and had him stand among them.
Truly I tell you, he said, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child, this one is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one child like this in my name welcomes me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to fall away, it would be better for him if a heavy millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Now that is a sober warning for us all. But it's also in this passage a wonderful look at how God decided to teach us lessons. Because there's really a lot we can learn from children. And in fact, there's a lot we can learn from all of the human relationships we have in our lives. And we've seen that over and over again in Ephesians chapters 5 and 6 in the series we've been going through on relationships. We see it in marriage, that the marital relationship gives us a view, a glimpse into the beautiful relationship that we have with Christ, where the husband represents Christ and the wife represents the church. And when we see this marital relationship, even if we aren't married ourselves, when we see this relationship, it becomes an example for us in how we treat God. And the same is true, Paul says, of fathers and children. Now, not everyone in this room had a father or maybe had the best of fathers, but we can see through the father relationship and through the father's relationship with his children how we are to act toward our Father, our Heavenly Father. Because God is called our Heavenly Father. And we need to act toward Him in a certain way. And as His children, right? And I think it's so telling when Jesus says here that whoever humbles himself like a child will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I ask myself, what does the humility of a child look like? What characterizes the humility of a child? And I thought of runaways. Have you ever had maybe a kid run away? Maybe when they were younger? You know, sometimes it can be a very scary story and very sad story. But I think most of the time, especially with the younger kids, they'll put that pack around their back, you know. They'll put all their belongings in a little sack, and maybe it's a little bit of candy, maybe it's a few toys, right? And they'll run away all the way to the backyard, right? They'll go in the tree house and they'll hide. And I think the reason that in most cases, and of course there are some bad cases out there, but I think the reason that most cases when a kid runs away, they don't go very far, is because deep down kids understand that they can't make it without their parents. They're lost without their parents. They're lost without adults helping them out. And a kid fundamentally understands that they need their parents. They are totally and utterly dependent on their parents, on their father, on their mother. And in the same way, we need to be totally and utterly dependent on our Heavenly Father. So often, we think we can get by without our parents. I know when we get older, some of the teenagers in the room maybe feel this way. Maybe you feel this way now that you're older. And you think, you know what? My parents aren't so smart. Oh, my parents don't know what's good for me. And so what we do is we go against our parents. And we actually become like the prodigal son, where we fall into a pig pen. And we have to smack ourselves in the head and realize, you know what? This is a bad situation. And the reason I'm in such a bad spot is because I didn't follow or obey my parents. And the same again is true with our Heavenly Father. So often we act as if we don't need Him. But in reality, we need to realize we are totally and completely dependent on Him. He's the only one who can help us. He's the only one who can save us and sustain us and take care of us. Because He's our Father. And so maybe you're here this morning and you find yourself in the pig pen. Well, in a few moments, we're going to have an invitation song. And the purpose for it is so that when we sing, you can come forward, you can talk with me, we can pray for you and with you as a congregation, we can help you out of whatever situation you're in. But I know that some of us here might be in a situation where we feel like we can't move on, where we can't take two steps forward without the sin that's in our lives from crushing our soul, or the devastating pain in our lives from crushing us. But I want you to know that if you go back to your Father, your Heavenly Father, He will run to you and He will embrace you. Please do so. Whatever your need is, please come as together we stand and sing.